All right, welcome to the Risen Life service for today. Come on in, have a seat. Let's go ahead and get started. We will open with prayer. Father, we give you praise, glory, and honor, and we thank you for the time that we have today to be in the house of God with the people of God. We don't take it lightly, Lord, that we have the ability to do so. We give you praise for the freedom to do so and the ability in our bodies and minds to do so. Father, we pray that your presence inhabit this place, that everyone that walks through the door feels the love of God. Let it draw them to it. Let us be the examples, God, that you have called us to be. I pray your anointing upon this word as you have given this vessel. I surrender myself to you, Father, your words and your thoughts be mine. Let nothing left in this vessel be of me, but only of you. Holy Spirit, you have control. Open the hearts of those that hear. May it take root and grow, Father, and be a word of God that does not return to you void, that empowers the kingdom of God, the army of God that you have in this earth, this day, and this time. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I don't know if many of you all saw the poster that I put up yesterday, but the sermon title today is, Are You Shady? Are You Shady? My daughter called me and she says, Mom, you're not throwing shade on somebody, are you? I was like, no, a certain shady, Slim Shady. But anyways, she's a child of the 90s, I guess, the 2000s. But so I want to talk about darkness. Darkness. That word has been in my head and in my heart for 2 or 3 weeks now, and God has allowed me to pin this out for you. This may be a two-part series. I may teach on something tomorrow, next week about darkness. But today I want to talk to you about the types of darkness. We're going to start out with, in the Bible, in the New Testament, there are three types of darkness. The first one, of course, refers to physical darkness, like the darkness fell when Christ was on the cross. A darkness came. That was the darkness that we can see. The other type is the kingdom of darkness is mentioned in the Bible. And those are, he has his kingdom. He has children of Satan. And those are people that operate in darkness. And then there's another darkness, SKOTOS. And I didn't say that right. But it's when you look up the name. And I was doing this while I was writing a sermon, and I looked up the meaning of that Greek word, and in the meaning, it had shadiness. And that word just stuck with me. And my poor husband's been singing shady songs ever since I mentioned it to him. He'll come in the house. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. I just can't get that song out of my head. And I'm like, well, the song is not about that. The sermon's not about that, but shady darkness. And we all know what shady is, right? It has a few meanings. Shadiness. For this purpose, those who keep one foot in their old life and try to keep one foot in the life of a Christian, their life is not given over to God. One meaning for the word darkness was a person in whom darkness becomes visible and holds sway. Holds sway. Do you see the back and forth? My mind immediately went to 1 James. Blown by every wind, like a wave that's tossed by the wind. And then it says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. James 1:8. Sway means to be dominant or have influence, controlling influence over, hold sway. If you saw the picture, the flyer, and there is a man sitting, and he's sitting between the darkness and the light. One side is dark, the other side is the light. And we have many people who call themselves children of God, and they're shady. They are shady. We expect the world to be shady. They're the kingdom of darkness, right? But when you come to church, there's some shady there. Dark times is the other darkness that we have. These are trials and tribulations of the children of God. that we experience. We live in a world that is controlled by the darkness, although we have victory through Jesus Christ, and we can walk in that victory. We do experience trials and tribulations due to the decision that we chose to be righteous, to be holy, to not allow our flesh to have dominion over us, because the word says that sin no longer has dominion over a child of God. God uses those times to mold and shape us to be more Christ-like, which prepares us for his purpose. Notice, not your purpose, but his purpose for your life. And as a disciple of Christ and the calling to bring glory to his life, to God, on your life. Dark times we may talk about, if the Lord allows me. Next week I want to talk to you, if I can, on how to walk through dark times. Now, there's a big difference than a person who walks through darkness and the person who stays in darkness. Big difference. And maybe next week, if the Lord allows, we'll talk about that. I want to first establish that as a child of God, you are no longer darkness, but you have light. Because the light, Jesus Christ, remember John 8:12, he said, I am the light of the world. Whosoever follows me will never walk in the darkness, but have the light of life, meaning new life in Jesus. We live within, we should be, if we're in light, if we are light, Matthew says we are called to be the light of the world, you should be evident. It should be evident in your life that there's an indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But did you know that you were darkness at one time? A lot of people read that scripture and skip over it. That's Ephesians 5:8. For you were once darkness, but now are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. That is a command of God. Walk as children of the light. What does walk mean? That means when you see me, when you hear me, I should look like something different than the world. I don't dress the same. And I've told you my revelation about dressing. God condemned me over a shirt that had, at the time, the little things out that showed the flesh. He condemned me over that. That was my first trial. Am I going to be obedient over something so insignificant to me anyways, but it was not to God? I'm supposed to look a certain way. If I'm going to bring you the word, would you believe me if I'm sitting up here in short shorts and a tank top, smoking a cigarette, guzzling some Heineken? I don't think so. I wouldn't be following that kind of leader. And that's just the sin you can see. Imagine what's on the inside. So, walking as a child of light, we have a responsibility. We are to look like what we have. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, so we don't want to ever grieve the Holy Spirit. There's scriptures about that. But you were once darkness, but you are now light in the Lord. You cannot obtain light any other way except through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No one comes to the Father but through me. There is no other path to light. There's no other path to peace. There's no other path to God except the path through Jesus Christ. And we'll just debunk that thought right now. Colossians 1:12-13, giving thanks unto the Father who made us meet, that means fit and proper, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Again, referring to Christ. Who delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated or transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. So you were transferred from one kingdom to the other as a child of God through this act of salvation, confession of sin, believing in your heart that Christ died and he was rose again on the third day. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That is a promise to a child of God. we see we have been called into this new life of light. We no longer live in dark, in shadows of life, no longer fulfilling and fumbling around in the darkness, being led by the enemy as a slave into his will, his desires, which he's so good at telling us it's our own desires. We have a flesh that is sinful, and we no longer live by the emotions and the destructive life that the darkness brings. Will you not have trouble? No, that's not what the Bible says. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God never forsakes us. Never. We live in a world that is dark. So yes, we're going to have trials and tribulations as a child of God. Anytime you choose to take a different path than someone else, they tend to notice that. They tend to make a mockery of it sometimes. They tend to raise their eyebrows. And they tend to treat you differently. Take it all in stride. Christ lived that first. And he was victorious. And so can you. 1 Peter 2 and 9 reminds us who we are now that we have come into the light, in the kingdom of light. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And that word darkness, which was what I was researching when I found the word shady. Shadiness. We were called out of the shadiness, the darkness, into this marvelous light. If I am a child of the light, how am I different from the darkness? It should be apparent. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said in 1 Corinthians 11 and 1, I want you to pattern your lives after me, just as I have patterned mine after Christ. Christ is always the example. He's always, if you're going to pattern yourself after someone, I would say, don't look at me. Don't look at Pastor. Don't look at the holiest saint you think, because you know what? We're still flesh and blood. We're still human. Look at Christ. Go to the Word of God, the living Word of God. He was the living, breathing Word of God on earth. Go to him. Ephesians 5 and 1 through 2 says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. What does a person of light look like? A child of God? They have love. Not just any old love. We see Jesus is love. Not just a feeling. It's just not an emotion that we live on temporarily until your use for me is no longer good and then my love for you is gone. That is not the kind of love I'm talking about. Who he is. It's the kind of love which is sacrificial and it's an offering in every way, putting God first and he and his will, which include even the denial of his own will. There was a time in the scripture Jesus said, I can only go where I'm sent. I can only say what the Father has told me to send. Those are my paraphrasings. Do you have that kind of love? As a child of light, I struggle with that. I struggle with my own will. I struggle with seeing what I want in my life, what I desire in my life, but also knowing that I should yield to the will of God. Because, you know, it says in the Bible, he knew the end from the beginning. He knows all my life, what I'm going to be doing, where I'm going, and I have figured out in my whole life of how many years I won't say, that his will for my life was much better than the plan that I chose for my life. Even my husband is a testament of his will for my life. I saw my choices before him. They were not good. But God sent that man, and he's the best thing that's ever happened to me on this earth besides my two children that we brought into this world. That's a testament. We've celebrated 37 years just recently of marriage. Has it been easy? Nope. You know why? Because we're two whole humans. And we're trying to figure it out. Trying to raise kids in the midst of all that. And make this thing work. Did I do everything right? No. He probably did more things right than I did. Because I was a hot mess. But he loved me with a love like Christ. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. Another thing that you see a child of light is that a child is thankful. And if you look at Ephesians 5, let's turn there because I'm going to spend some time in that chapter. Ephesians 5, the first verses talk about love, sacrificial love, an offering. And that is a child of God. When you see that child of God, you should see a love that sacrifices even themselves for the will of God, for the betterment of God. In Ephesians 4, the B, it says that the saints should not be filthy. There should be neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. A child of God will be a thankful person. You ever been around people and they're not very thankful? Ain't nothing right in their life. They got up, came to work. God blessed them with a job, with clothes on their feet, shoes on their clothes on their body, shoes on their feet, a breath in their body, health, and they are thankful for nothing. Nothing makes them happy. We are one who doesn't waste our mouth, our breath on foolish things. And we are thankful because we understand life is but a vapor, right? It's there 1 minute and gone the next. Any of you those have lost loved ones, you know that's true. Ain't no guaranteed 70, 80, 90 years on this earth. Some of us only get 12. Some of us get 14, 21, 35, 50, 60, 70 if we're lucky. Be thankful in everything. Verse 11, if you move on down, you see children of God or of the light, people who produce only what is good, right, and true. One whose every behavior, every word, every deed produces what is fruitful in their lives and the lives of others, which will impact their life to come. One that does not have fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. That's verse 11. Check your connections. You don't have peace in an area. The enemy is victorious in an area in your life. I can guarantee you, you've got a connection to darkness that needs to be severed immediately. Unfruitful works of darkness. So a lot of us have past. Anybody have a past? I have a past. I saw the fruit of that. I remember the day begging God not to take my life. I guarantee you, Lord, I won't do it again. And I didn't have the power within me to keep to that promise. I was back in that sin within a few days. Unfruitful works. What is the benefit of death? Sin produces what? Death. The wages of sin are death, spiritually and physically. Yes, we're all going to die. But some of us have lived longer because God has given us the grace and the mercy, and we have something to do in the kingdom. And here we are walking today. Yes, praise the Lord. Romans 12, let's go to that. Very familiar scripture. We quote it here quite often. And we're still talking about Romans 12. We're still talking about what it looks like to be a child of the light. Because once you understand who's in the light, it's very obvious who's not. 12 and 1 says that we walk circumspectly. What does that mean? We walk morally. We are cautiously walking, not because we fear something, but we are considering the consequences of our walk, of what we say, what we do. And then it says we are to walk wisely, which goes along with that as well. Romans 12, 1 through 2, it says to present your bodies as living sacrifices. Holy. That's a choice. Holy. We've been made holy, but we got to choose to be holy. Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's a choice. Child of the light walks differently, makes different decisions than the world would expect, speaks differently, looks differently. Those are all choices to be a living sacrifice to God. The fifth thing you notice about the children of God, flip over to Romans 8, or flip back, I should say. They are filled with the Holy Spirit. Romans 8 and 1, which we are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 3, God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, who condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verses 5 through 7 says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, they mind the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. No two ways about it. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is an enemy against God, or an enemy, for it is not subject to the law, neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. So if be that the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Can you tell by your walk? Are you filled with the Spirit? Holy Spirit? Some of them are filled with other spirits. Holy Spirit, let me clarify that. Holy Spirit. You look different. You act different. You don't allow the flesh to control you. You are dominion of that. Am I saying you don't make mistakes? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that you know your mistakes. You get it right with God. You go on and fall not into that trap once again. There's another difference, you see. You have power over the sin, right? Sin no longer has dominion over you. And it also says a child of God or the light have a heart which is joyful in worshiping God. It don't take long to turn the TV on and hear stuff that don't worship God. Sometimes in church you hear things that don't worship God. They worship flesh, themselves. If you have a leader that is all about himself or herself, and they're only joyful when it happens for them, you've got a problem. You're probably not looking at a child of God who has who's walking in the light. One more other thing, Ephesians 5, 22, 28, and 29. Children of God have different relationships. Marriages. Wives, submit to your own husband. Husbands, love your wife to the point of dying for her, and love her like you love your own body. That's a breakdown of those scriptures. I have no problem submitting to a man that gives his life for me, and he does it every day. I had a problem submitting to any man when we first got married, because that's one of the things from my past. I don't submit to no one. I need no man. That's the words I actually uttered before I met that man of mine, and God put him in my life. It's not hard to submit to a husband, your own husband. Notice it says your own husband. And husbands, you are to love your wife to the point of dying for her. That means she comes first, even above yourself. Love not your own body. If you're in a relationship that doesn't produce, and you're not in a godly relationship. This also speaks to sexual sin, sexual immorality, sexual impurity. God designed one man, one woman. This was marriage. It is not what the world calls marriage today. Any sexual relationship outside of the marriage is immoral. It is a violation of God's law. It is a defilement of the holy temple of God, which is you. We all know defiling the temple can be body and mind. It applies to fornication, adultery, homosexuality, pornography, any and every lusting that defies the mind or the body is a sin in God's eyes. I have scripture, Matthew 19, 4 through 5. I won't read all these. 1 Corinthians 6 through 8 talks about a sexual sin being against your body, which is the temple of God. 1 Corinthians 5, 9 through 11 talks about the homosexuality that will not inherit the kingdom of God. Romans 1, 24 through 28 talks about where he turned them over to the reprobate mind. Romans 1 through 24 through 28. A Christian, a child of the light, doesn't look like that. And if you come up in this house, call yourself a child of God, and you operate in any of these facilities habitually, you are not a child of God. You are a child of darkness, because darkness and sin rules your body. We do not, 1 Thessalonians 5 through 6, let's click back to that, I swear I'm almost done. I've just got a few minutes, I'm going to try to finish this out. 1 Thessalonians 5 through 6, and I am giving you who you're supposed to be so that when you come in contact with anyone that's not, you know who you're dealing with. That is a weapon of warfare for a child of God. You cannot be deceived. You cannot be trapped or tricked. If you understand who you are dealing with, you know how to deal properly. 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 6. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night. He's talking about his brethren. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunk are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Notice you need a little armor. You need a little armor, but we do not sleep. That means we don't get our guard down, let our guard down. We don't get lackadaisical. We don't get comfortable. We are constantly working, walking circumspectly, constantly looking. We are watchmen. And the watchman just didn't watch. The watchman had to go out and defend at times when the enemy came. We are to remain sober at all times, not caught up in drunkenness or any kind of spiritual drunkenness or natural drunkenness. You are to be level-headed, Christ-minded. Don't get caught up in yourself, self-centered, selfish, prideful. Those are spiritual drunkenness to me. The next thing it says, we live by faith, love, hope. It's real easy to pick somebody out that doesn't live by those things. And I love that he says, arm yourself. Put it on every day. When you meet a child of the light, God's child, it should be easy to identify them. They should look like those things. Those who are living a shady life, do you remember the shady life? He's swaying back and forth. He's trying to hide in the shadows some days with some people. Sunday morning, he walks out and tries to be this Christian, or when he sees you in the store, you know who shady is. One who tries to live both ways and identify. It's easy to see them, though. Their life is tossed by every wind of life, which blows. They are controlled by their emotions. Their mouths are full of nonsense. Rarely a good word can be found. Always at the end of their ropes in every aspect of their lives, caught up in the temporal things of this world. But will show up most times for church, but live a spiritually powerless life every other day of the week. And they have no love for the word of God because it is the light. Martin Luther King said a beautiful thing. One of his speeches, and I'm only going to read part of it. It says, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Are you shady? You're called to be light, child of God. If there's a situation in your life that you're stepping back into the shadows for, God has called you out today. It's time to put an end to it. It's time to put an end to it. And you can only do it with the word of God, with his strength, with his power, with his might. Quit looking at yourself. Shady's not going to cut it. Shady's going to die in the trenches alone. Father, we give you praise, glory, and honor for the word of God that you have given today to this people and those that hear me under any sound of my voice on recording, Father. Help us to examine ourselves. Point out, Holy Spirit, the things in our lives that aren't up to par. Help us not to be offended by that, to be depressed by it. Don't allow the enemy to use that as a tool to keep us from you, but help us to stand up in the strength of God with faith, with love, and power, and hope that is in you, Lord Jesus Christ. And let us be victorious as you have called us to be. In the name of Jesus, amen.